Okay, it is 6 o'clock, and we are on Kuf Yud Beis, Amud Beis. Trumas Yerkavu, where the two dots, about two-thirds of the way down the narrow lines. And we're talking now by Truma, the Halacha, that if there's Truma in the Irni Zachas, we let it rot. I'm Rav Chizda, Lon Shana, the Truma B'Yad Yisroel. That is only true if you have Truma B'Yad Yisroel. Have a Truma B'Yad Kayan, if there's Truma in the hands of the Kayan, given the Mamayna Hutisarev. So the Gemara, Rav Chizda says, the Gemara is going to slug this up right away. But Rav Chizda says that the only time that Truma is treated with difference than any other private possessions is if the Yisrael has it and hasn't given it to the Kayan yet. Therefore, we say it doesn't belong to the Yisrael. It belongs to Kahuna. That's Kedusha. And therefore, we do not destroy it. We let it rot. I mean, you can't burn it. We let it rot. However, if this is the Kayan's property already, he has received it, this is his personal property, the fact that it's Truma does not change its halacha. Even though it has Kedusha, it's a very big Kiddush, even though it has Kedusha, but the fact that it's privately owned, totally privately owned, he can do anything with it besides Yisrael can't eat it, but he's not, well, he can't eat it, but Truma, there are restrictions, but basically it's his money, and therefore we do burn it, once the Kayan got it. Now it's a very big Kiddush because the Kedushas Truma does not change when you give it to the Kayan or before you give it to the Kayan. What changes is when the Yisrael has it, it's not his. When a Kayan has it, it is his. So what we're saying is the reason we don't destroy the Truma is if it doesn't belong to the Yisrael. Therefore, why destroy it? But since it's in the Irni Dachas, this is what Rav Chizda is saying. Since it's in the Irni Dachas, we can't just like let people use it, so we let it rot. Whereas once the Kayan got it, this is his personal possession. The fact that it has Kedusha on it does not change the halacha. That's what Rav Chizda is saying at this moment. Let's do Rashi. Ela Truma B'Yad Kayan, the Mamaynahu. V'loi Mezalzinam Ba. No, I'm sorry. It's before that. Truma B'Yad Yisrael, all the way up. She'adayin Loi Nosna L'Kayan, he did not give it to the Kayan yet. Afilo Aisi Yisrael Roshahu, even though this Yisrael is a Rosha, Truma should be other in the Srefas and Shar Shlala. The Truma in his hand would not be burnt with the rest of the booty. Now I'm going to point something out here. I'm going to point it out. I'll point it out a little later, but I just want to point out, notice it now. Rashi says, even if that Yisrael were a Rasha, we won't burn the Truma. Meaning, why should it make a difference whether that Yisrael is a Tzaddik or a Rasha? The booty in the city is burnt regardless, right? Because anything owned in the city, whether it's owned by a tzaddik, whether it's owned by a Russia, gets destroyed. So really, there's no halachic difference who owns the truma. It's in the city of Yerni Dachas, and Rashi's saying, if Yisrael owns it, I don't care who the Yisrael is, because it doesn't make a difference who the Yisrael is. I think Rashi is just trying to stress, even if you have worst-case scenario, the guy himself serves the Avodah Zarah, and he has truma, still, ain't in his rafas, im shar shlala, the labdi dayu, it's not his. The shema in asna the kayan tzaddik shibachutzla. He might be giving it to someone out of the city. He might be giving it to a kayan tzaddik out of the city. Hilkach ain't in his rafas, it's not burned. The hainu kapikazin the irachares v'isnu the gaba. We view it as if somebody else owns it. This truma is not owned by the person in the Irni Dachas. It's owned by kahuna. And he can give it to a kayan that doesn't live in this city. He can give it to a kayan that lives out of the city. So therefore, why burn it? It's not the Yisrael's possession. It doesn't belong to anybody in the Irni Dachas. It belongs to Kahuna in general. And ever since it belongs to Kahuna in general, why burn it? We won't permit it in eating. Maybe he would give it to a kayan Russia. We can't let you eat it because perhaps he would give it to a kayan Russia. It's an interesting svara. Maybe why would we think that? Maybe he would. We can't burn it because it doesn't belong to anybody in the city. So why are we burning it? But once the kayan has it, it's burnt. Let me try to explain this Rashi again. Let's step back and let me try to explain the Rashi. What Rashi's trying to say is that according to the Havamina, the way Rav Chizda is explaining things now, we have no problem burning Truma if it's a Biat Kayan. it's his possession. The fact that it has Kedusha, again, we're going to shrug this up, but at this point we're saying that the fact that it has Kedusha does not affect its halacha. It has Kedusha, but it's a privately owned thing. The Kayan owns his Truma. If somebody gives Kayan Truma, he can give it as a present, he can buy things with it, and he can use it to barter. This is his possession. His possession with some restrictions on it. Therefore, the halacha is, we burn it. That's what Rashi's saying at this point. It's his. It's shlolo. The fact that it has kedusha does not change its status of being shlolo. It is shlolo. However, if Yisrael has it, Yisrael does not own his truma. He has to give it to a kayan. Now, he has a choice to give it to any kayan he wants to. He does not have to give it a kayan in his own city. He can give it to a kayan out of the city. So why should we look at this as shlolo? It's not. It's not owned by anybody in the city. But on the other hand, we don't want it eaten because perhaps he was planning, this is what Rashi says, perhaps he was planning to give it to a kayan in this city, and his plan to give it to a kayan in the city does affect something, which is a very shver svara. I mean, he didn't give it to anybody yet. It still doesn't belong to any individual, but perhaps he was going to give it to a local kayan. Had he given it to a local kayan, it would get burnt. So the fact that he could have given it or might have given it to the local kayan is enough for Chazal to say, we don't want this truma eaten. But we can't burn it. It doesn't belong to anybody in the city. So therefore, we let it rot. That's how Rashi explains it. So again, it doesn't belong to anybody in the city. There's really no chiyuv sreifa on it. But on the one hand, had we been sure that he would give it to a kayan in this city, meaning had this been his only option, then we would already consider it to be belong to a kayan of the city. Because as soon as he separates the truma, it belongs to kahuna. And if the only kahanim available are in the city, it belongs to the kahanim of the city. However, since he does have another option of giving it to a kayan out of town, since he can give it to a kayan out of town, it doesn't belong to the kahanim of the city. But at the same time, he might have been planning to give it to the kahanim of the city, so therefore, Chazal imposed the restriction of eating, even though it really doesn't belong to anybody in the city and does not deserve to be burned. Yes, Doctor.
I assume this is what Reverend Margaret meant, so this is very difficult, because this is in contrast to everything we've learned anywhere else in terms of ownership. Both in terms of truma, that the Baal has the rights to the banks and has the various rights in it, so he has this asset.
That's not a gay here.
In terms of ownership by a divorce, the person gives conditions to the woman, the divorce is not divorce, all these various things. But if you have control of something, you still have ownership.
It's not called owning the item. Let me explain something. The truma itself belongs to kahuna. That's for sure.
Right.
And therefore, it's not his money anymore. He might have the right of picking which kayan, but he does not own the food.
Mm-hmm. Right.
There's a question whether that tayvus hanoah makes him part owner or not. But for sure, he's not considered the owner of the amount of the truma.
However, I can't steal it from him.
Yes, you can. You could. If you stole it from him, you wouldn't have to repay him. To question whether you would have to give him anything at all.
If Aaron stole it from him, you wouldn't have to repay him.
No. If anybody stole from him, you wouldn't have to repay him for it. It's a machloikis how much you would have to repay him, if anything at all. You might have to repay him a small amount with the type of sana is worth. You want a kedusha, nun test, nun ches.
What happens to Yisrael? He has trauma and it became possible before he gave it to Cohen. Is he a kibbutz or is he sorrow?
Possible?
It became possible on Yisrael's property.
He gives it to the client anyway. And the Kayan burns. That's the Kayan's problem. That he gives it to the Kayan. It's not his. It doesn't belong to the Yisrael. It belongs to Kahuna. Once a person separates Truma, it's not his. It belongs to Kahuna.
Why can't he give it to Kayan now and let him burn it?
Because this is Rashi again. I'm only reading a Rashi. Rashi says if he gave it to the Kayan, he doesn't have to burn it. If he gave it to the Kayan, he can give it to the Kayan out of town. The answer is, but since he might have been giving it to the Kayan here, so we don't want it eaten. That's the svara that I can't explain. That's what Rashi seems to say. I do want to point out one thing. The Rashi uses the word Rush and Tzaddik here in a very strange way. He says, even if this Yisrael is a Rasha, he might have been giving it to a Kayan Tzaddik out of the city. He could have given it to a Kayan Rush out of the city. I mean, who he picks to give it to out of the city has nothing to do with the person's size of his sissus or the condition of his tone. I mean, we're not out to check. All we're trying to say is he could have given it to someone out of the city. Why does Rashi say he would have given it to a kain tzaddik out of the city? Or, but since he might have given it to a kain Russia in the city, we can't let it in. I don't care who he would have given to it in the city. Tzaddik in Russia is not the determining factor. He could have given it to a kain outside of the city. He might have given it to a kain in the city. It's not tzaddik for Russia. So now Kohenim say that Rashi is using the word Russia for anybody in the city and the word tzaddik for anybody out of the city. We're talking about Russia and tzaddik vis-a-vis the halach of Ir Nidaka. We're not here to talk the regular Russian tzaddik we've been talking till now. This is not Kohenim's problem. Rashi seems to say, Kim burn it, she might have given it to a kain out of the city who is a tzaddik. Why do we need the word who is a tzaddik? He might have given it to a kain out of the city. Right. Exactly. And he we can't eat it because he might have given it to a kain in the city who is a Rasha. I don't care which kain in the city he would have given it to, it would have gotten destroyed. Why is Rashi using the word tzaddik in Russia? So I'm quite a bit troubled by it. A few shots of myself, the one that hit home is that Rashi doesn't mean to say tzaddik Russia in the regular way. He means to say for burning stuff in the Ir Nidachas, everyone is a Rasha. For not burning stuff out of the Ir Nidachas, everyone is a tzaddik. Vis-a-vis this item, the kain out of the city is an automatic tzaddik, and the kain in the city is an automatic Russia. Not vis-a-vis whether he serves on a disara or not, but what we point out for this item. That's why if you look through Rashi, Rashi says, even if this Yisrael is in Russia, we started off at the beginning, it doesn't make a difference whether Yisrael is in Russia or in tzaddik. He lives in the city, his truma has to get burned. The answer is the truma doesn't belong to him. Right? And he might have been able to give it to a kain out of town, regardless of whether he's a Russia or a tzaddik. But we can't eat it because he might have given it to a kain in town, regardless whether he's a Russia or a tzaddik. Rashi's throwing the words Russia and tzaddik here to refer to anybody in the city being called a Russia and anybody out of the city being called a tzaddik. That's what that question points out.
That means he had a hobby that you let's eat it outside the city.
Yeah, give it to a kain outside the city and let him eat it. I mean, we're killing out everybody here, right? So we're killing out everybody. So now that the city doesn't exist anymore, let's take the truma and give it out to somebody. So Rashi says that the Gemara is saying, since he could have given it to the kain in the city, we're not comfortable in being eaten. And again, I can't explain it any better than that. I don't know, understand that svara. But that's what Rashi seems to be saying.
We're
still on the Havamina. We're explaining Rav Chisda's statement the way the Gemara understood it at the beginning. Right, correct. Dr. Gemara, Master Rav Yosef. Maisha Sheni and Kisvi HaKadosh Yigdusu. Maisha Sheni and Kisvi HaKadosh get hidden. Now, Maisha Sheni belongs to the Yisrael. It's his, like the Kayan owns Truma. Now, this is the Machlokes Tanoim. I want to give an introduction. There's a Machlokes Remeir in the Rav Yehuda, Remeir in the Chachamim. Whether Maisha Sheni belongs to the Yisrael, a Maisha Sheni is considered Mam and Gevaya. When a person separates Maisha Sheni, he has to take it to Yerushalayim to eat. In Yerushalayim, he can eat it, no problem. If he lives far from Yerushalayim, he can redeem it, take the money to Yerushalayim. There's a Machlokes Remeir in Rabbi Yehuda, where the Maisha Sheni is considered belonging to the person with obligations to eat it in Yerushalayim, or does it belong to Hashem with a right for the person to eat it? That's a machlokes. Can a guy be mekadesh a lady with his maisha sheni? Can he walk over to a lady and say, I'd like you to marry me, and here is maisha sheni. This is worth money. Maisha sheni. Or do we say it's not his? He has a right to eat it, but it's not his. It owns by Hashem. You have to give the lady your money, not something owned by Hashem. And there are many other differences as well. This Gemara is assuming the maisha sheni belongs to the individual. And yet we're saying that the maisha sheni, the onidachas, is not burnt. Why? If you learn like the Chachamim, this is Maisha Sheni that belongs to an individual. It's like the truma in the hand of the Kayan. Why don't you burn it? It's a riot that Rav Chisda is not right. That we don't burn truma. We don't burn Maisha Sheni. That's Kedusha to it, even though it's privately owned. That's what we're trying to prove. Again, the Gemara could have answered that our Mishnah is going like the mayor. The mayor holds that Maisha Sheni is not privately owned. Truma is privately owned. Maisha Sheni is not privately owned. But the Gemara is now working with the Shita of the Chachamim. This is what the Rishonim speak out. And according to the Chachamim, Maisha Sheni is not privately owned. It is privately owned. And yet the Mishnah says that when you have Maisha Sheni in the city, you have to bury it. Why? Why is it different than Truma in the hand of the Kayan? It's a Raya that even though it's privately owned, if it has Kedusha, we don't burn it. Not like Rav Chisda said. Let's read it inside. Vasim Rav Yosef, Maisha Shani, the Kisar Kaisha Zignishu, but Maisha Shani, Viad Yisrong, the Truma, Viad Kaindami, Tani Yignizu. But the Gemara, you're right. Eliyat Marochi Yitma. This is what Rav Chisda said. I'm Rav Chisda. Vaisha Noel, the Truma, Viad Kayan. The only Truma that we don't burn, but we let it rot, is the Truma that belongs to the Kayan. It's privately owned, but it has Kedusha. Avo Truma, Viad Yisrong, to Nasim the Kayan should be a Recheret. Give it to another Kayan in a different city. It's not owned by anybody in the city. It's Truma B'Yad Yisrael. Might as well give it to a Kayan in a different city. Why are we letting it rot? And therefore, Rav Chisda is being a different Rav Chisda. He's saying, Truma B'Yad Kayan is privately owned, but it has Kedusha, so we can't burn it. Truma B'Yad Yisrael is not owned by anybody, so give it out of town, and there's no problem. No difference. It's not his possession. Truma does not belong to the Yisrael. Right. Well, we'll take the Truma. We'll give it away. Belongs to Kahuna. So we'll give it to a Kayan. Yeah, his kids can decide who it goes to. I mean, or anybody can decide who it goes to. See, what happens when a person separates Truma is this now belongs to, quote-unquote, the corporation called Kahuna. There are many shareholders in that corporation. But anybody that's a Kayan is a member of that corporation, is a stockholder in that corporation. He has a right to that Truma. Now, the owner usually has the designation rights of picking who it goes to. But the truth is, any Kayan can take it, theoretically. And therefore, if nobody's here to pick, we'll give it to any Kayan. Now, once we give it to an individual Kayan, he becomes the owner of it.
And what we would pick outside?
Outside the city. Yeah, anybody outside the city. We'll give it to a Kayan outside the city, and he can eat it. See, we're falling off of this Svara, that since it could have been given to a Kayan in Sanagaya.
But there is some kind of Svara before where if there was a Kayan that was his friend...
Right, that's only if possible, not if impossible, like that Kayan is dead.
No, I'm saying he could be living,
no. But now he's out of town. Now he's out of town when we're giving it to him, so it's fine.
He
the city is destroyed. There's no city anymore.
Nobody talks about the fact that the Truma takes stuff that's going to be burned.
The Truma was separated. When they passed him, this was a ready Truma. We don't degrade it. The Kayan did not join them.
We burned the Sadiqim's Rabbah because that's what caused them to live there.
That was Reb Shimon's interpretation of a Gezeirus HaKasas.
No one just jumped on that. I mean, first of all, Metaltalin wouldn't apply.
Why not?
Well, I'm living in this area because of my Metaltalin?
Yeah, it's hard to move. I have good stuff. I have nice stuff here. It's hard to move.
No, Metaltalin, I'm saying.
I just answered you.
I have a refrigerator.
Oh. Yeah, it's hard to move. It's hard to move. But not awesome. I can't argue that. What am I supposed to say? It's obviously he feels that people stay in a thing where they have a lot of possessions and it's hard to move. Yes. So you have to be very careful. So Shimon bases his halacha on time of the grow.
But I don't think that he disagrees with the idea that one of us tells you to do something, you do it.
Again, he bases halacha on time of the grow, which means if the reason doesn't apply, he says the halacha doesn't apply. He says that. So let's say Avram is right that he doesn't have anything keeping him here, his money doesn't keep him here, then this guy, the chayrav, would be absolved from his money being destroyed. That's what Abraham is asking. I mean, he has a valid question.
Rameyer
says Maizu Sheni does not belong to the Yisrael, and therefore you don't have to separate Chala from it. Chala is from your own dough. Maisha Sheni dough is not yours. It's Mama Gevaya. Mama Gevaya is not obligated in the challah. You have the right to eat it. Challah is the piece of dough that they separate. In the time of the Gemara, in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, they used to give it to a Kayan who ate it, like Truma. Today, we burn it, because today it's Tameh, so we burn it right away. But Issa Shemai Shesheni, Rameir says, is not obligated in Challah. But Chum and Mechaydim, and the Chum say it's Chayim in Challah. Because they say it's privately owned. Amar Rav Chizda. Machloikas and Maisha Sheni in Yerushalayim. This Machloikas only exists in Maisha Sheni in Yerushalayim. The Rameir Sabri Maisha Sheni Maman Gevayahu. Rameir says Maisha Sheni is Maman Gevayah. Rabbanu Sabri Maman Hejiku. Rabbanu say it's privately owned. Abu Begvulun, before you got to Yerushalayim, all around Eretz Yisrael, Gvulun means in the boundaries of Eretz Yisrael, not in Yerushalayim, Dibri Yaakov Patzer. Everybody holds that till you get to Yerushalayim, it's considered Maman Gevayah. That's the statement that, who said? Rav Chisda. Rav Chisda is saying a statement. The argument between Rav Meir and the Rabbanon, whether Maisha Sheni is privately owned or publicly owned, only exists within the city limits, the borders of boundaries of Yerushalayim. However, if you're out of Yerushalayim, it's definitely Maman Gevayah. According to the Rabbanon, when you enter Yerushalayim, Hashem gives it to you. Before you enter Yerushalayim, it's not yours. That's what Chizda is saying in the first pshat in Rashi, which is the pshat that reads best in the Gemara. We are going to learn the second pshat in Rashi, even though the Gemara later on has difficulty fitting in according to the second pshat in Rashi. But again, Rav Chizda is saying this whole argument, Ramei and Rabbanon, is only an argument out in the city of Yerushalayim. If you're out of Yerushalayim, everybody agrees that the Maisha Sheni does not belong to you as of yet, and if you were to make dough out of it, which is forbidden anyway, but if you did it, you wouldn't have to separate challah because it doesn't belong to you. Yes. Once it's in the boundaries of Yerushalayim, it belongs to you. Owner. Yes. He doesn't have to go personally. Rashi. Dr. Rashi, look, Abu Begvulun, Sha'in la heter achil ala bibdiya. You can't eat it unless you redeem it. Divri akal paturim and achal the mom and gevayahu. I just want to stress again, Rashi has two pshatim. The second pshat hits a stumbling block later on. Rashi does no comment on it later on. Explains the Gemara according to the first pshat. Does not explain the Gemara according to the second shot, which leaves us with a question mark when we get there. I just want to point it out now. Lishnachrina, Abba Begvulim de'en lo heter achila. The second shot says, it's not that it doesn't belong to you out of Yerushalayim. It belongs to you at all points. But since you can't eat it, because you're supposed to go to Yerushalayim, chala is only chayim and something you're allowed to eat. If you're not allowed to eat it, you're not chayim to separate chala from it. That's Rashi's second shot. Not that Rav Chizda is saying the Rabbanon agree it's owned by Gevaya out of Yerushalayim. It's owned by you, according to the Rabbanon. Except Chala is determined by the edibility of the item. And since this is not edible halachically because it's out of Yerushalayim, there's no obligation of Chala. Let's read it inside. If it's not yours, you can't be Mekadosh woman with it. It's Machloikis or Meir the Rabbanon. So Rav Chizda said the Machloikis is only in Yerushalayim, not out of Yerushalayim. According to the first version of Rashi, it's because everybody agrees out of Yerushalayim, it does not belong to you. According to the Chachamim, not according to a mayor. And out of Yerushalayim, Chizda is saying, everybody agrees it does not belong to you. That's the first shot in Rashi. According to the second shot in Rashi, that's not what Chizda is saying. Chizda is saying, even though the Rabbanan say it doesn't belong to you, it does belong to you, the Chala is not determined by ownership only, determined by the ability to eat it. And since I'm not allowed to eat it out of Yerushalayim, according to anybody, therefore, I don't have to separate challah. Challah is given to the Kayan, challah is like Truma, Maisha Sheni can be eaten by Yisrael in Yerushalayim. Totally different halachas.
I'm talking about the edibility.
Challah is edible by a Kayan. Maisha Sheni is only edible in Yerushalayim. So when he's saying, till you get to Yerushalayim, there's no key of challah, because it's not edible here. Let me read the Rashi. Listen, Akrina. Avo begvulun de engla heter achila b'shas chi of chala. The haino b'shas gilgul isa. When you roll the dough, when you make the dough, it's not edible. Like karina be'reishis harin tisechem. The Torah, when it said about separating chala, talked about dough you could eat. Since you can't eat it here, you no longer a chayiv and chala. You cannot chayiv and chala. That's a little pradalakim you can't put some in a chala. Meaning like this. Chi of chala comes when you make the dough. If when you make the dough, it's not an edible dough because of halachic factors, this never becomes chayiv and challah. That's what Rashi is saying. So again, let me explain this without being interrupted for a second. Rashi approaches Rav Chisda's statement one of two ways. Rav Chisda comes along and says, Rabbanan and Rameir have an argument whether I have to separate challah from my shesheni. Rameir says, no, it doesn't belong to you. Rabbanan says, yes, it does belong to you. Dr. Chisda, that statement, that you have to separate challah, according to the Rabbanan, is only in Yerushalayim. Out of Yerushalayim, you don't have to separate challah. He does not say a reason. Comes along Rashi and provides one of two reasons. Reason number one, out of Yerushalayim, it doesn't belong to you. Reason number two, it does belong to you. But out of Yerushalayim, you're not allowed to eat it, and challah's chiyuv is only from dough that you're allowed to eat. And since at the time that I made the dough, I'm not allowed to eat it, because I can't eat it here. So therefore, there's no chiyuv challah. So there's two explanations that Rashi offers in the Rabbanon according to Rav Chisda. Why out of the boundary, why out of the wall, I don't have to separate challah. Either because he agrees you don't own it, or even though you do own it, but you're not allowed to eat it. That's the two explanations.
Yeah, but according to the first explanation, if I do kadiyah, I can eat it.
Again, you don't own it now. I can buy something, doesn't make it mine. It's not mine. I don't own it now. I'm not chayav in something I don't own. Chalu was given in something I own. It's not mine. It belongs to Hashem. I can buy it from Hashem, but I didn't yet. Yes?
That's the fact you buy it
from Hashem. That's what I'm trying to say. Something in my mind. Matzah of Rav Yosef. My Shusheini
b'kisvi HaKadosh. That's, I mean, I'm just taking it a little step further. It doesn't usually work. Usually so that belongs to Hashem, like a Corbin, that's Kadosh.
Every bet of Kabayas I can redeem. There's so many things that I can redeem. It doesn't belong to me. Matzah of Rav Yosef. My Shusheini b'kisvi HaKadosh Ignatu. My Shusheini and Kisvi HaKadosh are put away in the Yer Nidachas. Practicing about the Maya Skinan. What is this Maishu Shein in the Yer Nidachas? Now remember, the fact that it's Yignazu means it's privately owned. I'm going to learn the Gemara like the first Pshat in Rashi. Going to the second Pshat in Rashi, this Gemara is very difficult. I'm not even going to go there. Going to the first Pshat in Rashi, Rav Chisda said that the Rabbanon agree that out of Yushalayim it's not privately owned. Okay? So let's move to our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says you have Maishu Shein in the Yer Nidachas. You don't burn it. You put it away. Right? Why do you put it away? Because it's owned by people. You don't burn it because it has kedusha. You put it away, you don't eat it because it's owned by the people in the city. Now where is this Maishu Sheni located? If it's in the city, it belongs to Hashem. If it's in Yerushalayim, well, once it's in Yerushalayim, you're not allowed to take it out of Yerushalayim. How are you going to burn it here? It's Makhlau. It's like, you know, money that's in a different city that can't be brought here. That locally is, we don't burn it. So, exactly why are we putting it away? Where is this Maishu Sheni located? If it's in Yerushalayim, that locally is, if a guy has possessions out of town, in Russia, and it can't be brought here to be burnt, it's Mutzabana. Is it in the city? It doesn't belong to the guy. It belongs to Hashem. We don't burn things. Shlal Shemayim. It's not, it doesn't belong to the guy. So what are we talking about? Something Gemara. Masav Rav Yosef. Maizu Sheini B'kisra Kodesh Shigmasu. Maya Skina. Yilayim B'Yushalayim. Is it Yushalayim? And Yushalayim is the Yer HaNidachas. That would be a beautiful case. Guys in Yushalayim. And Yushalayim, Rachmana Lusman, became an Yer HaNidachas. We have a Yer HaNidachas. Is there a halokh of Yer HaNidachas in Yushalayim? By the time we learned Asara Dvar, then we be Yushalayim. There are 10 halokhs said about Yushalayim. The two Achas member, one of them is Enanazis Yer HaNidachas. Yushalayim can never become Yer HaNidachas because it's not owned by any Shevet. I'm not getting involved now in Yushalayim, but that's what the Gemara said. Yushalayim can never become an Yer HaNidachas. Elabi Yerachares. Teretz is, it's in a different city. That's cool, the Gavah. And they took it to Yushalayim. Hakatul Machitos. You're not allowed to take it out. The Rabbanon said that once it's in Yerushalayim, the Mechitzas have absorbed it. You cannot take Maishu Sheni out of Yerushalayim. So the Halacha says, take it back to your Nidachas and burn it. I'm not allowed to take it out of Yerushalayim, so I can't take it back. Elalav, Begulah. Teretz is its home. It's back where it came from. That's where it is. It never made it to Yerushalayim. So why am I hiding it? Why can't I eat it? Why can't it be saved and eaten? It doesn't belong to anybody. It's not owned privately. It's a Maman Gevaya. Tani Yignazu. Zach Rashi. Zach Rashi, Yudvon, Nemi Bishlaim, the Perik Maruba, Khashavu, it's listed in Perik Maruba. Elabi Racheres, Vaskal, the Gabosh, or Isa, Maji Shani, Shalachim, the Yir Nizakas. The Maji Shani belonged to one of the Yir Nizakas. The Helu Isil, Shalayim, Kaidim Shalachim. They took it to Shalayim before it became an Yir Nizakas. Viakka Kutsu. And can a my ignazu? Why is it put away? This true nami bachila. The katinu machitas. It's in Yerushalayim. The haynu chayma. Ella la begulam loy matilay. Never got there. Uktani ignazu ve'eni yaitzul isaref. We don't burn it. Vipia. Why ignazu? The visa the begulam the brakol mamon gavayu. If everybody agrees that out there it still belongs to Hashem, this true nami bachila. Ella lav mamon hejitzu. Teretz is it's privately owned. Unahid the b'sreif for loy mishum zelusa. We can't burn it, but we got to put it away. Yes. Only the stuff that's there, not the stuff that's elsewhere that can't be brought back. We had that before. That if a guy lived, is rushed out of possession across the country, we can't get it back here in time, we don't burn it.
See, it's right next door.
But we're not allowed to leave. Rabbanu don't let you take it out. That's like 1,000 miles in between. That creates 1,000 miles. It's again, it's a mitzvah that say if you can bring it back. If they don't let you bring it back, it can't be brought back. You were trying to speak this up. They ask you a question, they take your answer. That is answer. Yes?
If this person has money in the bank, it's collecting interest in it. So the principle was community dacha, even though it's mixed up with all the bank currency. Is some money brought back?
He doesn't have the money. What's your money? What money is his? He lent it to the bank.
He
lent it to the bank. He doesn't have any money. You don't have any money in the bank. You have a loan. When you give money to the bank, you lent it to the bank.
Yeah, so
any halvah doesn't get back. There's no tangible.
No, I guess that's what I'm asking.
There is no tangible.
If he has money in California, it doesn't come back.
No, that's different. Money in California is tangible cash.
So which cash is any
nothing. He doesn't. Nothing gets burnt. He doesn't have anything. Outstanding loans is not something that's tangible.
It's an outstanding loan from him to the bank.
Yeah, exactly. So he doesn't have anything tangible.
What happens if that money goes to the Argent?
Goes to the Argent. Like any other outstanding loan. Nobody has any money in the bank. You have a loan from the bank. The bank collapses, the federal government owes you the money. There's no money you can, it's not yours. Right. That's the Gemara Bait. And for the Gemara, Lo'ilam the Iracheres Vaskula Gavah. It's talking about, it's another city, they took it to Yerushalayim. Ah, you can't leave. Welcome my skin is Shenitma. The Ma'aseh Sheni became Tamei. So once it can't became Tamei, so then the halacha is, since you can't eat it, so therefore, at this point, we're saying, since you can't eat it, so Yignazu. Meaning, it's seemingly not a Nir Nizachas halacha. The Gemara is going to ask later on, so what is this going to do with Nir Nizachas? So let's let the Gemara get there, but meanwhile, we're saying it became Tamei. You can't eat Ma'aseh Sheni, it's Tamei. So you can bury it. It has not to do with Nir Nizachas. It's a new halacha. Ma'aseh Sheni, that's Tamei, gets buried. Was it doing in the mission of Yir Nidachas? The Gemara is going to ask later. In fact, the Gemara Balifrikei, you can redeem Ma'aseh Sheni, that's Tamei. The Amr of Lozim, in Ayla Ma'aseh Sheni, Shadit Mishapoyd Nais, that's Ulib Yushalayim. Ma'aseh Sheni, that's Tamei, you can redeem even in Yushalayim. Tamaloyim Elishucho Se'esai. You can't Se'esai. Ve'ein Se'es Alachilach. Se'es means eating it. Shadam of Ayisa Mateis Meis Panov. Portions. This week's Varsha. Right? He gave them portions. So we see, that seis means to eat. So we see that you can redeem any maaser that can't be eaten. So why are you saying to bury it? Redeem it and eat it. Dr. Rashi. Lailam dir nidachas va'askila gavol. The comment lishnu nami bachila. We ask the question, let it be edible, the katu mechitas in Yerushalayim. Ha'maizkina kishenitma. The lab ha'chuli betumehu. You can't eat it b'tumeh. The chsivvoi be'ayti mimenu b'tumeh. The common parach, the Gemara will ask, why do we need Ir Nizachas? Even if it's outside of the Ir Nizachas, the same halacha applies. You can't eat it, you bury it. So the Gemara, you can redeem it. Even though we die, only if you live far from Yerushalayim, that's when you redeem it. Only far away can you redeem it and tie your money for the cure of Makam. But the halacha is, if it's Tumei, you're allowed to redeem it even in Yerushalayim. Because the Torah says, "Vaysukos Eisai," the Ein Seis Alachila. If you live far away, or you can't eat it, you can redeem it. So the question is, why are we hiding? Why are we burying it? Because it's tame, redeem it and eat it.
How far is far away? But
one step out of the wall. What happened was, this wasn't real Maizu Shani. This was food acquired from Maizu Shani money. And therefore, the Gemara seems to say you can't redeem it. That's the Gemara, why not? The Lifrake, redeem that too. It's not alikur from the Kesa Maizu Shani. If I buy food with the money of Maizu Shani, Shinitma became Tamei, Yivda. You redeem it. That the Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda, Dami Yikaver. Rabbi Yehuda says, so what you do is, when you buy food from Maizu Shani that becomes Tamei, it's not strong enough to be redeemed. And therefore you have to bury it. So when the Mishnah says Maizu Shani is buried, it's talking about you went to Yerushalayim, you spent your Maizu Shani money, you bought food, it became Tamei, so you bury it. In fact, the Gemara says, what is it doing in our Mishnah? It's not an Ir Nidachas Halacha. This belongs in Masechtas Maizu Shani. That if you buy food with money of Maizu Shani, what to do when it becomes Tamei? Why is it in our Mishnah? The Ir Nidachas is 10 miles away from Yerushalayim, called Ramallah, and the food is in Yerushalayim. What? Okay, I just said for it. And the food is in Yerushalayim. The food has nothing to do with the Erni Dachas. We're burying it because it can't be eaten. What's it got to do with the Erni Dachas? This is Erni Dachas Meiser. It's in Yerushalayim, and it's Tahar. What happened was, in the Nafu Machitzas, the walls of Yerushalayim fell down. Once the walls of Yerushalayim fell down, you can take the Maizu Shani back to the Erni Dachas. Because there's no restriction of taking it out. The restriction of taking it out of Yechazal were only made with the walls. If the walls are down, there's no restriction of taking it out. And therefore, once there's no restriction, take it back to the city and burn it. The answer is, it's Maizu Shani, so I bury it. So what we're answering is that the Mishnah, it really belongs to Hashem until it gets to Yerushalayim. Once it gets to Yerushalayim, it becomes personally owned. Now, you're not allowed to take it out. So what happened was the walls of Yerushalayim fell down. Once the walls of Yerushalayim fell down, there's nothing holding me back from taking it back to the city and burning it. But since it's Maizu Shani, I don't do that. I just bury it. To eat it in Yerushalayim is biblical. Likloit derabbanan. To take it out of the city once it was in there is only rabbinic. The Chigaz Rabbanan ki yisnu l'machitza. The Rabbanan only said, don't take it out of the walls of Yerushalayim. Ki yisnu l'machitza lo'ayim. When there's no walls, there's no restriction. Meaning like this. The biblical law of Yerushalayim does not depend on the walls of Yerushalayim. That depends on the geographic area of Yerushalayim. But the rabbinic restriction of taking it out of Yerushalayim was made out of the walls of Yerushalayim. That's how they made the restriction. No walls, no restriction. Take it back home, burn it. That's how it is. It's Maizu Shani, so we don't burn it. So according to Reb Chisda, this whole halacha of Maizu Shani is in a very limited case. Maizu Shani in the city doesn't belong to you. It belongs to Gvaya. Maizu Shani in Yerushalayim cannot be brought back home. In case the walls of Yerushalayim fell down, we would not bring the Maizu Shani back to burn. We would bury it. That would be the halacha on the Mishnah when it says Maizu Shani Yignazu. In a very limited case, which makes the situation almost more impossible. A, to have an Irni Dachas. B, that has Maizu Shani in Yerushalayim, and the walls of Yerushalayim fell down. Rashi.
That became Tamei.
No, even if it's Tar. Because now we're saying that even if it's Tar, you're allowed to take it. If it's Tamei, you can redeem it. It's Tar. Can't redeem it. It's not strong enough to grasp its pigeon, to be mitzvahs, to be typhus, to grab. Now, who mana gufa? The besecht is Maizu Shani with this money. That's where you bury it. And the question was, it got to do with Erni Dachas. It's talking about its tar. Vaskula gavah, they took it to Shulayim. The comment that which you said, Lishtu bachila, that be mutsa bachila, the katu machitzas, because it was absorbed by the walls. Acha shenichnas b'chay mishu shulayim. Dama rabba b'shchitzas chulam b'perig b'hem amkasha. Machitzas lechul deraisim and atayra mitzvah lechul lefnim and achayma. It's a mitzvah with deraisim to eat it within the wall. Ab machitzas likla, she machitzas kultas bein linyan padiyah bein l'chol inyan, that the machitzas should absorb it, both for eating it and for redeeming it, midrabbanan, who was only rabbinic. Kiglaz rabbanan, the Tanakh Klitus Machitus Lamaisa, the Shuvan Yachul of Daisai. You shouldn't be able to redeem it. That's, they take out the word Mitzrefa, we'll see in a minute. That you shouldn't have to bury it. But when there's no machitzas, take it. You're allowed to take it back home. But it's ma'aser sheni, so we bury it. That's the Gemara writes. It's a theoretical thing. I don't know if it ever happened. I don't know. Some want to say it is. Some want to say it means the Beit HaMikdash was destroyed and the walls were destroyed. Some want to say that. That's the Gemara Vayitzeh, Masvisin D'Loikrab, Kisvei HaKredesh Ignazu. Masvisin D'Loikrab L'Yezer, our Mishnah is not like L'Yezer. The Tanya we learned of L'Yezer, even call you, she has Batul Mezuzah Achas. Any city that has even one Mezuzah, in a Nazis here in Izachas, cannot become in here in Izachas. Shenemar V'Sarav T'Veishas, the year of Iskol Shlolo, Kolol. You should burn in the fire the city and all its booty completely. You can't do it. What do we say? We say that's not the city's booty. We say that the mezuzah doesn't belong to us. It's Shlal Shemayim. It belongs to Hashem because it has Kedusha. So therefore it's not infringing on completely burning. Whereas Rabbi Eliezer says mezuzah is personally owned. And you can't burn it. So you can't burn all its booty. So it's impossible to keep. Dr. Rashi,
you pass them like that, personally owned mezuzah?
You sure can. You can sell your mezuzahs, absolutely.
So how come that if you move out of the house, this is the
that's mezuzah? Only because of shmira. You're considered a mazik. It's a different thing.
What about Kisrei
Kodesh? Kisrei Kodesh is the same thing. Same thing.
A person owns his own Kisrei
Kodesh. Again, but it's we consider it Shlal Shemayim. Even though you own it, it's a davar shebekdusha. We don't consider it completely yours. We consider it Shlal Shemayim.
What about a Kisrei Kodesh would be the same
thing? Same thing. So be bata mishma min amokim ahu v'samach lei lisaf and kein l'shem l'keichem ube mezuzah hayo uchtiv ba'askaris yev shu l'shreifim shu l'kod lisaf and kein period v'anan and we who argue on Rabbi Eliezer l'chai Rabbi Eliezer saying a gevaldig thing, you can't burn your booty, you can't burn a mezuzah. V'anan, we who argue in Rabbi Eliezer, this is the way Nachmanim explained it, bein shlola the lekadai shlal shemayim hu, we consider mezuzah shlal shemayim. And therefore, we consider it owned by Hashem. So therefore, we don't have the problem with Rabbi Eliezer has, whereas he considers it privately owned. And therefore, the Kedusha does not affect it, and therefore he says you can't burn it, so it must be you can't keep it in his eyes. Because it's a item that's totally Kaddish. Its all use is for mitzvah's sake. So therefore, in our minds, we consider it Shlal Shemayim. I mean, you own it, you can sell your mezuzahs. But the old, it's not like Ma'aser Sheni or Truma or anything else with Kedusha that you can eat and physically enjoy. There is no physical enjoyment in a mezuzah and in a Sefer Torah and in a Gemara. It's not physical enjoyment. Its whole purpose is serving Hashem. So, what? No physical enjoyment. Whereas lulav is different. Lulav has no Kedusha. It's a mitzvah. Mitzvahs are not Kedusha. Tefillin. Tefillin would be Kedusha. Tzitzis has no Kedusha.
So why does Rabbi Eliezer?
Because you're not allowed to burn mitzvah. You can burn a lulav.
Why not
tefillin? He could have said tefillin, but he says every city has one mitzvah. He could have picked tefillin, he could have picked Tzitzis, he could have picked the Gemara. Is that the Gemara, right? Yeah, that's what it wasn't. There were no gemaras in those days. Yes, it does. That's the gemara by Deb Shimon Ayim Ramah Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's the gemara. Now we're going back to the end of the Mishnah. The Mishnah had an argument whether when they rebuild the Nidachas, can they make orchards there or not. One time I said you can't even make orchard. The Mechiba said you can't build it as a city, but you can make it orchards. Now the pasuk says V'hoysa Teil Olam. That's a positive commandment. Make it into a destructive tail means pile of rubble. And then it says, Loisi Bana'oi, do not rebuild it. So there's an Asay and a Lav. Now, we usually have a rule that anytime the Torah says a general statement followed by a more specific statement, The specific statement is the definition of the general statement. So the Tyrus says, destroy it, don't rebuild it. Following that rule, we would say that don't rebuild it is defining v'haita teil olam. And therefore it's saying you only can't rebuild it, but you can make it into an orchard. But usually that rule is when the Torah wrote in the same tone, either both positive or both negative. Here the Torah wrote a positive followed by a negative. When I have a positive followed by a negative, is the negative limiting the positive or expanding upon the positive? That's the machlokes. There's a machlokes. There's a statement from Rav Avin. Rav Avin says the only halacha that negatives, that generals followed by specifics, the specific is the definition of the general statement, is only if they're both batsay or they're both beloy sasa. But if one is a positive and one is a negative, this rule does not apply. Therefore, the Gemara wants to say that that's the basis of the machlokes. Let's read it inside. Let us say they're arguing in Rav Avin's halacha. The Amar Rav Avin Amar Rav Eloi. Anytime I find a general statement in an asay in a prat beloy sasa, ain't done a nice of a klal prat. I do not define it as a klal prat. The mar isli to Rav Avin, mar lesli to Rav Avin. One agrees to Rav Avin, and therefore he says, Loisa Teilolim is one command, Loisa Banoid is a second command. One is not defining the other, not limiting the other. And the other one doesn't hold the Rav Avin, and therefore he's saying the Torah is limiting it. What does Loisa Teilolim mean? Loisa Banoid. Zotzi Gemara Loi. The Kula Alma is the Rav Avin. Everybody agrees to Rav Avin. The question is how to translate the word Loisa Banoid. What does Oid mean? Mar Sabar. Log on, Kalipuki. Mar Sabar Oid Lagamri Mashma. One holds that oid means totally. Don't build it oid means don't rebuild it, period. Marasavar oid v'kamasha haisa. Does oid mean permanently, or does oid mean again? They're arguing in the meaning of the word oid. One person translates it, loisibana oid. Do not rebuild it permanently. Do not do anything there. And the other one says, no, it means don't build it again. Don't rebuild it. They're arguing in the meaning of the word oid. That's what the Gemara is saying. Let's do right. Yes.
I'm sorry, just a general question. Why is this mitzvah say, more of a hachzah,
hachzah, hachzah, hachzah, hachzah, hachzah, hachzah, hachzah, hachzah,
hachzah,
hachzah, hachzah, again, the way the Torah, we have things that are forbidden to do, and they're called Isser Aseis, because the Torah teaches it to me, not with telling me not to, but by telling me to do something, or to leave something, that's called a positive. Yes. Right. Rashi klal ba'asei prat b'loy sesa. Then b'haisa te'loylem klal. We just had the word te'loylem that's very general. Don't even make it into gardens and orchards. And Latia Teloilam, it should be a tale forever. Should I say? Means that build houses. We don't say that the prat is limiting the klal. The loisesa perishu, that the lav is explaining klaimer v'hoisa teloilam the binyan klamar, only that you can't rebuild it. Ava leganas apardesim shari, I could make orchards. How the Trey Mili come across? The Pasuk is saying two things. The Lamina Perusha Kamafarish. We don't say it's explaining it. Elamili Mili Kamar, saying different halachas. The Haisa Teilailam, the Ganus of Pardesim, period. Loisibana Oid, Kobi Yanim Shabailam, Tafilu the Ganus of Pardesim, Loisibana Oid. We can't even use it for Ganus of Pardesim. It's not limiting. It's one halacha. You can't make Ganus of Pardesim. It's a lob that says you can't rebuild it. We say that the general statement was, don't do anything with it. And then the Torah wrote a law to teach me that you don't use it for anything that services people. Meaning that the Torah is saying, don't rebuild it. Meaning, don't use it for anything that services people. Nothing to be done with people, right? The Lamer Binyan Bechlal Hoya, the Lamer Yotzo. Why did it specify building? Lahakishlach Ma Binyan Meyukachu Yishuv Bnei Adam, used to service people. Av Kol Binyan Ganas and Pardesim. Meaning, Adarabba, we're saying, the Torah says, leave it as a total mound. Don't, we're not limiting the assay. We're explaining it. We don't want it used in any way that's a positive for people. That's how we're translating like the Bana'ai. Rabbi Isaac Lili Sabra ain't done in Kerbaba. But Darashaki, Darashan's like this. Don't do anything. It means only houses. He holds that the Torah is saying that we are limiting the Isser with a lav to rebuilding it. The Torah doesn't care with a lav. You shouldn't do it, but it's not a lav. Meaning, it's an Isser assay. So the Man D'Omerek says, Loisase Ganes Upartesim, that's Rabbi Geis Yaglili. And the Man D'Omerek says that you can't do it at all, that's Rabbi Kiva, who says that we don't use it as a Klal Prat, and therefore we are answering it. Rabbi Kiva says, we're done in the Loikar Abavim. And Rabbi Kiva says, we can use it as a Klal Prat, and therefore he says, you can use it as Ganes Upartesim. And for the Gemara, the Kulam is still the Rebbevim. Vatilu Rebbe Kiva. Vahad the Kamar, that which it says, Yerni Dachas Nas is Ganes Upradesim. Lam Mishun Vahal Molesper the Rebbevim. Not because he normally doesn't hold like Rebbevim. The Vadai Milzuk of Mepharsha, it's explaining it. Vahaysa Tei Loilam B'mai B'binyam Batim to Loi Sibana Oid Le'mashim Le'i B'chol B'nyonim. Loi Sibana Oid does not mean all buildings. The Ksavar Oid Le'kamaysha Haysa Mashma. He learns the word Oid means the way it was. Klemer Le'sagziv Le'sivna Oid. Do not rebuild it again. The way it was before. This is Rabbi Kiva speaking. He holds that the Torah is saying a lav. The Torah is defining. Ganes upradesim. Don't rebuild. You could make ganes upradesim. And then the Torah is explaining only the types of buildings. Oid is a lashon of forever. Lashon void who. So we're answering is as follows. We're not using this as a klal prat. We're not saying that the Torah said v'hayta tel oilam and only don't build. But the Torah said the word oid. Oid is going back on the whole thing. Oid is going on loisibana and oid is going back on ganas upadesim on v'hayta tel oilam. We're saying that the word oid is going in every part of the pasuk. Leave it that it shouldn't be the way it was. Oid means make sure it doesn't return to the way it was. And the other mandamit says oid means leave it permanently destroyed. That's the machlokes. How to translate the word oid? Yes. We're going to get that in the next piece line in the Gemara. Next piece line in the Gemara. Tell me about it. Hayiba ilanis klushin asurim mechubarim mutarim. If you have trees that are detached, it's asur. If it's attached, it's mutar. Because you don't burn attached trees. Because remember, we said it has to be something that you don't have to cut off to burn. Now, how about houses? The answer is houses is the city. The city is houses. So when it says destroy the city, it means destroy the houses. Whereas if it says destroy the possessions of the city, trees are possessions. Possessions have to be detached possessions. Attached possessions are not destroyed. We did not burn the trees down. If they're already cut off, so then they're possessions that are detached, and then we burn them. Shal'ir acheres, ten klushin be'mechubarim aser. However, there was another city that also had to be destroyed, and there they destroyed even the attached stuff. It wasn't Yerni Dachas. It's a different city in history that we had to destroy, and there they even destroyed the attached stuff. Here in Dachas, we only destroyed the detached stuff, and that city was destroyed totally, even the attached stuff. What is that city? My Irach Eretz. So the Gemara, Amar Abchizdi Yerichai. It refers to Yerichai. Yerichai was totally destroyed. The Siv V'hoysa Yerchayim Hashem, and they destroyed not only the detached stuff, they destroyed the attached stuff as well. Because the pasuk over there says, V'hoisi'ir cherem l'Hashem, and it says there, V'chol asher ba. And V'chol asher ba, we learn out, even attached stuff. Rashi?
This is attached trees,
trees, that means like vegetables also.
Chayra, vegetables also, correct.
I don't know
if you want anything. Right, anything, right. Vashi, v'chalad, mutarim. The tigbites are seraphed on Rachmana. Mishayna mechutzer el kvitzu streifa. That's a zesh, and mechutzer el kvitzu el kvitzu streifa. You have to detach it. V'chalad shabah, I feel like one of the mechubarim ashabah nasarim, even the attached trees, or usher. We'll talk about now rebuilding a rebuild.